The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good to have you here today. All right. Well, that was less than enthusiastic. You should be up here looking out. It's good to have you here today. I want to go home. So mean. Let's open a word of prayer and try to be spiritual here. Father, thanks for today. Lord, I ask that you would bless us today. Father, I believe there is freedom. I believe there's freedom in hearts today. That you're going to give us a dose of your grace and hope that you will carry us. God, thanks. Amen. Title for today is When God Opens Iron Gates. I guess it was already up. So there are moments in life when it feels like we got iron gates in our way. Like every gate is locked. The doctor gives you a report you didn't expect. Bills are higher than your paycheck. Everybody been there? The loneliness gets louder. The grief feels heavier. And the prayers seem unanswered. That's what's going on in Acts chapter 12. This chapter opens with persecution, suffering, fear, prison, and we're back to it, death. People will die today. Not today, in the story. I hope. Please don't shuffle off to heaven in here. It doesn't begin with sunshine and victory. It begins with pain. In a minute, we're going to find out that the Apostle James is dead. Peter's in prison. Herod is drunk on power, and the church is scared. And at first glance, it looks like evil is winning. You ever get to moments in your life like that? Where it feels like evil is winning. But Acts chapter 12 reminds us of something, and here's what I want you to take away from today's message. If you're being fancy, it's called the thesis of the message. Now you know. God specializes in changing bad circumstances into places where His power can be revealed. Let that sink in for a minute. Take the bad spots in your life and recognize that God can turn those into places where His power can be revealed. The devil may write the first paragraph, but God always writes the final chapter. Let me say that again for you, because some of you didn't seem like you took it in. See, sometimes life gets dark before God moves. This is the hard part for us. Look at Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. The apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. Listen to this. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place before the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed. Isn't that a warm and fuzzy feeling? How does Acts chapter 12 start? Well, Herod kills James, the brother of John. One of the apostles is dead. Think about that. These were Jesus' followers, and one of them's dead, killed by the sword. One of his closest followers has been executed. And when Herod sees that it pleases the people, he says, you know what? I'll do it again. But wait, there's more. So he arrests Peter. Peter's in jail. Now, this wasn't like a little county jail or like a little cell. He's chained between soldiers. 16 guards are watching over him, and Herod intends to make a public spectacle out of him. So, from a human standpoint, Peter's situation feels hopeless. You ever look at things with your eyes and think, this is hopeless. This is not going to happen. See, life feels that way a lot, and we like stories that start with miracles. But that's not where the story starts. It starts in pain and suffering. It starts with Peter being chained. Sometimes we get chained by fear. Sometimes chained by regret. Chained by addiction. Chained by anxiety. Sometimes chained by circumstances we never ask for. I've got sad news for you, folks. You can love Jesus and still end up in prison. You can pray and still have problems. You can serve God faithfully and still face hardship. All those TV preachers say, if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be over. Hallelujah. They're going to have to answer to a lot of people. Years ago, I knew a man named Cloud, Reverend Cloud. He was a missionary to India. He was talking to my Uncle Bill, and he said, the prosperity message, the name it, claim it, blab it and grab it, doubt it and do without it. The idea that if you're not rich, you're not a Christian. Those guys make my blood boil. He said, that is ruining the church in India. He said, those people are so devout. They love Christ so much. They're giving everything they have for him. Yet they come to him and said, Pastor, I heard this guy say that if I'm struggling in my life, I must have sin in my life. And he said, Pastor, I'm trying my best. He said, these guys are trusting God for a Learjet. And the church in India is struggling nearby, and they're listening to this person. I self-edited right there. Look, the Christian life is not the absence of storms, but it is the presence of Christ in the middle of storms. You may still go through the storm. The disciples went through the storm. Jesus is asleep in the boat. Lord, don't you care if we die? Yeah, I do. But where's your faith? The Bible is honest and says, sometimes life hurts. Sometimes our prayers are mixed with tears. And sometimes faith walks through dark valleys. I want this to sink in for you folks. Because here's what I want you to know. If you're struggling today, you're not alone. Hear me. You're not alone. We all struggle. We all hurt. We all go through those deep valleys where we look like, where it feels like we're never going to get out. But darkness is never permanent for the child of God. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. I love that verse. Man, write that down somewhere for you. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. See, the night may be long, but morning is still coming. A train full of passengers heads into a tunnel. Kids are laughing. There's people having fun. But this is a long tunnel, and they're in the dark. And the longer the train stays in the tunnel, the quieter everybody gets. Eventually, the whole train is silent. It's been too long. Some of them even wonder if the train is lost. What's going on? It's quiet because of the darkness. People wondered if the light would ever return. Then they reached the end of the tunnel and they burst into sunlight. Immediately, everything changed. Their voices returned. Kids started playing again. People smiled. Why? Because the darkness was gone. Some of you are in a tunnel right now. The longer the darkness lasts, the quieter your faith has become. I know this because I've walked it. A tunnel that you think is never going to end. Here's what you need to know. The tunnel is not your final destination because God still knows where the tracks lead. Come on. God still knows. Nothing's surprising him. So where do we go from here? I mean, this is pretty much a downer right now, isn't it? Yeah, Jerry thinks we're going to suffer. Praise God. See, while Peter was in prison, the church was praying. Acts 12:5 says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. I love that verse. Prayed earnestly for him. Peter was trapped, but the church was praying. Herod had soldiers, but the church had prayer. Herod had chains, but the church had faith. Herod had prisons, but the church had the power of the Almighty God. Never underestimate what God can do through praying people. Don't sell that short, folks. Church couldn't storm the prison. They had all been dead. They couldn't overpower Roman guards. They had all been dead. They couldn't change the political system, but they could pray. And prayer still changes things. If you find yourself in a tunnel, if you find yourself in prison this morning, you may not be able to change all that other stuff, but you can pray. Prayer doesn't always change circumstances immediately, by the way. We think that God's like the bellhop in heaven. Lord, I need this now. Amen. And if God doesn't answer a prayer in 30 seconds, we're like, God's let me down. He hates me. He's abandoned me. Dude, it's been less than a minute. God doesn't really change circumstances right away. Oops. But prayer changes atmospheres. Prayer changes hearts. Prayer changes our perspectives. And prayer changes outcomes. One of the great lies of the devil is nothing is changing. Nothing's happening. You ever feel like that? Well, I prayed for 5 minutes, you know, and I had a tear and everything, and I'm still in the same position I was in. Okay. So now what, Jerry? Pray some more. Pray another 5 minutes. And maybe another 5 minutes. And another day. And another day. And another week. Pray till you see God move. Because here's the thing. We serve an awesome God, an almighty God. And he knows better than you do. Right? Wait, some of you are kind of like, oh, I don't know, Jerry. Trust me, God knows better than you do. Just based on the hairstyles I see. No, I'm just kidding. See, the devil wants us to believe nothing's happening, but while you're praying, heaven is working. You may not see movement, you may not hear chains falling, you may not feel doors opening, but God is never inactive. I said in the Bible study Wednesday that we act like God, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, God created the earth. People feel like God created the earth and he just said, okay, I'm done. He's still here. He sustains the earth. Sometimes God is doing his greatest work behind scenes we can't see. As a kid, we went to my grandma and grandpa's house, grandma and grandpa Brewer's house, for Thanksgiving every year. I loved going to Grandma Brewer's house because that woman could cook. There's no finer chef in the world than my grandma Brewer. So I would go in the kitchen and help. She was nice to call helping. Really, I was probably hindering. But she would put stuff in the oven and shut the door. And then I watched the door. Those scalloped potatoes that I loved. Oh, man. Okay, I'm hungry. Those scalloped potatoes would be done any minute now. I found out later they take like an hour to cook. So I'm standing there looking at the oven, and Grandma says, what are you doing? I says, I'm waiting for them to come out. She said, it's going to be a long wait. See, I thought since it didn't happen right away, nothing was happening. But meanwhile, inside the oven, things are cooking. The potatoes, the Velveeta cheese, and the onions, and man, I'm really hungry. All of that stuff is melding together. Before, it was really just kind of gross. I started to pour the milk in and then throw the cheese. I wouldn't want to eat that. But man, when that came out of the oven, I was ready to chow. Inside the oven, heat was transforming everything. What looked inactive was actually preparation. So when you don't see things happening after you've prayed, don't give up. Just know God's cooking. And it may not be coming out in the next 5 minutes, but when it does, it's going to be perfect and it's going to be good. And it's time to chow. God's not inactive. You may be frustrated because you can't see God moving. But just because you cannot see it doesn't mean God has stopped moving. God may be preparing something greater than you imagine. I've seen things happen in my life that I never would have thought would happen to me. Good and bad. I've seen situations that looked horrible. I had one situation at the sheriff's office that looked like it was going to cost me my livelihood. And I was hurting. And it took about 6 months for it to come around. And when it did, instead of being in trouble, I was commended by the sheriff. He said, you had a good attitude through this. And I told him, sir, to be honest, no, I haven't. God may be preparing something greater than you ever imagined possible. God can open doors no human can open. The night before Peter's execution, something miraculous happens. Peter's in prison. You know, it's dark. He's chained to these guys. And an angel appears in the prison. This isn't one of those nice angels. He doesn't say, fear not. The cell just fills with light. And Peter's chains fall off. The guards are helpless. Peter walks toward freedom. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 10. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. This is an iron gate that is latched to protect the city. It's not there to mess around with. In fact, you probably, it's so big you probably can't open it yourself. But God opened an iron gate, not a wooden gate, not a weak gate, an iron gate. The kind of gate that nobody opens. The kind of gate that says this situation is permanent. Ready for this? God opened it anyway. Maybe today you're standing in front of an iron gate. Could be a gate of sickness, gate of depression, gate of financial hardship, broken relationships, grief, uncertainty. What is the iron gate right now that you're facing? From a human standpoint, it looks impossible. But our God specializes in impossible situations. When all hope is lost, my hope is nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust upon his name. Psalmist knew what he was doing when he wrote that. Here's the thing. If God can part the Red Sea, he can handle your circumstance. If he can feed thousands with a little boy's lunch, he can provide for your needs. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can resurrect hope in your life. I don't care how big the gate is. God's bigger. I don't care how strong the gate is. God is stronger. I don't care how heavy the gate is. God is more powerful. You got to soak that into your life right now. If you're hurting, if you're facing a gate in your life, God is bigger. Man, don't lose sight of that in the hard times. And it's so easy, right? It's so easy when it's the waves are crashing on us and we think we're going to drown. God still opens iron gates. Don't be afraid. Don't feel like God has abandoned you. He's cooking. He's cooking. And when it's done, it's going to be great. Now look, not every gate opens instantly. Not every prayer is answered on our timeline, right? Lord, I got 10 minutes, and I really need you to do this. And God's like, okay, here's the thing. For me, a day is like an hour is like a day. So you give me 10 days? You give me 100 days? You know what, God? I'm going to give you as long as you need. Because when I do it, I mess it up. I've seen the difference between the things that Jerry does and God does. God's he does and God does. You know what? His is always better. God hasn't lost his power. I love this. I read about a man whose old garage door had become completely stuck. He pushed it, he kicked it, he pulled it. Nothing worked. Finally discovered something very simple. The door was locked from the inside. All the strength in the world couldn't move that locked door. But one key changed everything. Trusting God is the key that many people never use. Ow, ow, ow. That hurts, doesn't it? That really gets down to the liver. All the way at all. Trusting God is the key that we often forget we have and we often forget to use. Trusting God. Not just saying, well, yes, I believe, I trust God with my life. Really? Because you're paddling pretty hard in the water. As long as you're trying to save yourself, God can't help you. We love that trite old phrase, well, let go and let God. You know what? It's true. It's one of those corny sayings that's true. I see people panic. They worry. They fight. They surrender to fear. But faith unlocks what human effort never can. Here's the good news. Sometimes God does more than we expect. I love this part of the story. because it's so perfect. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. When he realizes, okay, he's talking about Peter, I'm going home. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door on the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. What's Peter? When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter's standing at the door. She's so freaked out because as far as they know, he's going to die. And she's so freaked out, she doesn't let him in the house. So imagine you're Peter. He knocks on the door. Rhoda says, who is it? Peter says, it's me, Peter. You lie. No, really. It's me, Peter. She recognizes his voice, and she slams the door. He goes to the prayer meeting. He knocks on the door. She recognizes his voice. And the people inside say, oh, good, Peter's home. No. They say, you're out of your mind. They tell her, you're nuts. Peter's going to die tomorrow. That's some kind of cruel, sick joke. Understand, they were praying for a miracle while struggling to believe that one had happened. Before we criticize them too much, we've all been there. Come on, say amen or ouch, right? Prayed for a miracle, then when it happens, like, oh, that can't be right. We pray, but we still doubt. We ask God to move, we're shocked when he does. And yet, God's faithful anyway. Aren't you glad that God's faithfulness does not depend on perfect faith? I'm glad that God moves even the times when my faith is tired. Sometimes all we have is trembling faith, weak faith, exhausted faith. But if that faith is placed in a powerful God, miracles can still happen. Take that measure of faith that you have. Jesus said, like a mustard seed. It's almost like powder, a mustard seed. It grows into these huge plants. Take that little grain of faith that you have and plant it in God. Plant it in hope, in your almighty Father that you follow. And watch God bring it to plant. Watch God make it bloom. It's going to happen overnight? It could. It may take a while. I'm not in charge of telling the plants to grow. You don't sow a seed in your backyard and say, all right, hurry up and grow. I'll give you 2 days. After that, out you come. The church expected Peter to die. God sent Peter home. And not like home to heaven. He sent him home to his house. They expected tragedy, and God brought testimony. They expected mourning, and God brought rejoicing. See, God has a habit of turning funerals into victories. You ready for more death? Yeah. Let's kill somebody. Herod had power, but God had the final word. Chapter ends with Herod receiving praise from the crowd. Oh, look at Herod. He's a god. And Herod accepts the praise. Bad idea. Sparky, don't put yourself there. And suddenly, judgment falls. Acts 12, 23. Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Yow! I can think of a lot of ways to go, but being consumed by worms, not top of my list. I see commercials for that Dr. Pimple Popper lady where she's pulling like this thing out of some. No, No. No, you should not watch that. I don't need to see some like 6-inch worm come out. I just don't need to see it. So to being consumed by worms and dying, it's a tough gig. So Herod gets struck down and dies. But wait, there's more. Verse 24, meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. Herod, hasta la vista, baby. Don't let the dirt hit you with the good Lord split you. You're out. Take your worms with you. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the gospel is flourishing. Peter goes from prison back to preacher. He goes from being sentenced to die to giving a new life, a new chance at life. But trust me, he's going to make the most out of it. The church were cowered together, crying and thought they were next to die. God said, I got a better way to do this. This verse, by the way, is the entire next chapter. I texted Jeremiah this week and I said, I'm supposed to do 11 or 12 and 13, but I can't bring 13 into this. It's just, this would have been a 2-hour message. And I know you all would have stayed for it, but I don't think I can stand that long. See, kings rise and fall. Problems come and go. Circumstances change. But God's purposes keep moving forward. Herod looked powerful. He was temporary. Think about that. The most powerful dude in the kingdom. The one who had a guy arrested so he could kill him in front of the people for public adulation. He was temporary. God looked silent, but he was sovereign. Never confuse God's silence with his absence. God may seem quiet, but he's still in control. I like this. The enemy doesn't get the final word over your life. Your pain doesn't get the final word. Your past doesn't get the final word. Your failures do not get the final word. Look at this list. The enemy, pain, our past, our failures, none of those write the last chapter of your life. And it's so easy to think they do. It's so easy to look at our past, look at our failures, and look at all these other things and say, you know what? I'm done. I deserve it. You know who writes the final chapter of your life? God does. Don't let Satan take away the last chapter of your life because you refuse to let God write it. Years ago, a newspaper mistakenly printed an obituary for a man who's still alive. Can you imagine waking up one morning and finding out that the newspaper says you're dead? One line in the article described him as a merchant of dynamite. The man was horrified. He realized that that was how the world would remember him. Not for his life, not for his heart, not for his future. And that moment changed him. He devoted the rest of his life to creating something positive. You know what I'm talking about? You may have heard of him. Alfred Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize. The Nobel Peace Prizes were started because that obituary made him change his life. He's the creator of TNT. He's the creator of dynamite. But when he saw that that's all he would be remembered for, he said, I got to do something to change this. The Nobel Prize exists because one bad moment changed the direction of his life. God can take painful circumstances and produce something beautiful. What painful circumstances are going on in your life? See, and here's the thing. When we're in the middle of them, it's hard to believe there's any beauty coming. We're in the middle of them. All we can think of is, this is how I die. God's got more plans. God's still in control. God still has grace. God still has power. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Now, first of all, quit saying this to people who aren't Christians. I cringe when I hear it. Somebody who's not a Christian, their loved one dies. Well, all things work together for good. Not for them. Not right now, not necessarily. That's not who this verse is talking about. Who's it talking to? For the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. If you're a Christian, this is yours. If you're not, it ain't. Sometimes we use this in places where people are devastated. You know what? That may not be the right time. One of the hardest things in my life was a lady in one of my churches had lost a baby. And I stood there I was the youth pastor. The senior pastor quoted this verse to them. And I'm sorry, but if I just lost my baby, I'm going to have a hard time believing that that's what God had in mind. Years from now, I may rest on that verse. Right now, I'm just devastated. I need hope. I don't need somebody just shouting a random verse to me. Notice that it doesn't say everything is good. Right? Everything works together for good things. No. If you're in a devastating accident, if you're having trouble, if you're having hardships, that's not good. It doesn't feel good. But it said God works everything together for good. And only God can do that. I've shared with you before, I got voted out of a church. I was pastoring a church in Delano. I got voted out. It was brutal. I almost left the ministry because of it. However, had I not gone through that, I'll just be honest, hell, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Because that released my heart to do something I didn't think possible. And that was start a church that wasn't like all the other churches. I don't know if you've noticed, Remnant, we're not like everybody else. By the way, nor do we want to be. I'm not casting anything off on them. That's just not who God made us. And God took that pain, and I mean it was pain, and just deep sorrow, and he molded it into something that came a few years down the road. Didn't happen overnight. It took a few years. Acts 12 begins with death, chains, prisons, and fear. But it ends with victory and the word of God spreading. Because that's what God does. He changes circumstances. He opens gates. He rescues people. He strengthens weak faith. And he turns trials into testimonies. Maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you feel chained. Maybe you feel like your whole life is iron gates. Don't give up. Because the same God who walked into Peter's prison cell can walk into your circumstances. The same God who opened iron gates can open doors for you. The same God who turned fear into rejoicing can transform your situation. Acts 12 teaches us something very important. Church prayed. Peter trusted. And God moved. What I want you to take away from this today, trust him. Even in the darkness, even in the chains, even behind the iron gates, trust him. Your life is not over. Your final chapter hasn't been written yet. Trust God. because God is still able to turn bad circumstances into testimonies of his grace and power. Sometimes the very prison that you hate becomes the place where you discover just how powerful God is. Are you ready for your chains to fall? Are you ready for your iron gate to open up? Are you ready for the fire to pass away from you? When I walked up here, I asked David to play the song that he's played already today, because he didn't know it, but his song worked perfectly into my message. Many of you today are facing gates. You're feeling the fire, just the flames are all around you, baby. You're feeling the heat. Trust God. He's with you behind the gate. He's with you in the prison cell. He's with you in the fire. And he will bring you out of it. Stand with me as we pray, would you? Father God, I pray that you will touch every life here this morning. God, some of them are facing hurdles and things in their lives that they never thought they would have to face. People here are hurting, God. People watching on video or listening on the podcast, they're hurting, God. And they need hope. They need something to happen for them. God, it all starts with trusting you. So, Father, I trust you. I put my hope in you this morning. If you're facing stuff right now, just say that simple truth right now. God, I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you. You're the chain breaker. God, you're the gate opener. You're the fire quencher, God. And I trust you. Put my life in your hands, God. Whatever you're going through, let God in right now. Let God touch you. Let God work in you. Come on, take a moment. We're not in a hurry. Let's go. God. Now, as a step of hope, I want you to tell God thanks. Thank you, God, that I can trust you. Thank you, God, that you're with me in this fire. Thank you that you're going to open this iron gate. God, I don't care how long it takes. I put my trust in you. I put my hope in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, do something incredible in us right now, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. This week, you may not see it, but God's cooking. You may not get victory this week. You might, and when you do, let me know. I love it. That's like saying sick him to a dog. I love that. That encourages me. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. No matter how close or how far your answer is, trust God. Trust Him. I love you guys. I want to see you feeling that faith as you go out. Amen? This song is perfect. So I ask him to sing it again. And as he sings it, look at the words. See what the words are saying. Then just belt it with all your heart. You don't even have to sing on tune. Just sing. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. Stress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here.